Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Amen. Father, bless us today. Bless us with wisdom, discernment. Please help people to understand the things that are coming here. And we praise you for it. We praise you that they'll be able to retain these things and understand them. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to call this Beasts to Bring in the Harvest. We're going to see some very interesting, very important things here because of the things going on in the world. Thank you so much for paying attention. All right, first thing I'm going to share with you is a little piece of the revival list. Date November 21st, 2008. Leading up to a revelation back there that was given to Robert Holmes. And that was called The End of Empire America. Okay, and this is a note from Mario Liu in 16th of October, 2008. I was in a prayer meeting with Robert Holmes and Kurt Fensel, who was visiting us from the USA. Robert shared with us a vision he had recently received. Robert had a vision of Alexander the Great standing victorious in the middle of USA. We discussed about Robert's vision in some details. Alexander the Great, in the vision, was a foreign-looking man. He was surrounded by many U.S. citizens who seemed to welcome Alexander as their leader. I asked Robert whether there were any signs of violence, and Robert said no. I remember God has given similar visions before about Alexander the Great conquering the USA, and we did not understand God's meaning then. Now that God's repeated this vision, I felt that there is significance in this and asked God for more revelations. Such as, which country is conquering USA? Who is Alexander? Etc. But God did not give us any clear revelations apart from saying that Alexander took Babylon without bloodshed. So after the U.S. election, Robert recognized that the Alexander he saw was Obama. And then God revealed more information. These revelations are enclosed, and we need to pray. So here's Robert Holmes' revelation called The End of Empire America. This article will cover a range of issues which have been brewing for 6 to 12 months in my heart. History will judge America as an empire. That empire is coming to an end. The election of Barack Obama is a significant prophetic event. Of course, that was the election back then, okay? Marking the sunset of that empire and the rising of other powers in the earth who represent ancient powers and civilizations. In other words, he's saying the same thing I've said, that these represent ancient powers and civilizations. These ideas have consequences for believers living both in the U.S. and the countries who rely on her, like Australia. Okay, my thoughts are, Barack Obama became president of deep state-ruled Babylonian America. And although he severely weakened America, he did not conquer her during his presidency. Remember that. I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying during his presidency he did not. Okay? So Hillary was, of course, to be Obama II and would have finished the job. But God used a modern-day Cyrus of the Media-Persian Empire to conquer Babylon, America. That's what happened historically. And that's what's happening now. Clearly, this is President Trump, who, as a Cyrus, also discovered the hidden treasures of darkness. Yes, that was in underground tunnels of darkness that they discovered this. And that's all spoken of in Isaiah 45, which Trump is following lockstep. So using this and other reforms as a lure, President Trump has come to lead a mighty alliance of nations, where he also set the people of God free from Babylon to rebuild the kingdom of God, just as Cyrus did, and also bankrolled it with Babylon's stolen loot, just as Cyrus did. Okay? So no one else has followed in the steps of Cyrus but President Donald Trump. Keep in mind, there are not two kingdoms spoken of here in which Obama entered at that particular time. That's not two kingdoms. There's another kingdom involved here. It's three kingdoms, okay? Original Babylon ruled by the deep state Obama, then Babylon under Cyrus Trump, and then comes this Babylon conquered by Alexander the Great, whom Robert saw as Obama in his vision. Okay, so it looks like Obama could come later. I'll explain that. It was reported by the military that Barack Obama was arrested for his crimes, taken to Gitmo, and there he was given a monitoring boot and told to play his part under their direction. But he rebelled, and they took him back to Gitmo and shot him. However, it was after this that the military began to discover clone-growing labs and destroying them around the country and other places that were manufacturing copies of the important deep state criminals like Obama. So after they discovered this, then they realized, oh, we could have taken out a clone, you know, or at least I did for sure. So after they learned how to tell the difference between a clone and the original, I believe it is likely that the deep state had their clone of Obama available when they took clone Obama back in and shot him. So Obama may still be out there and calling the shots for the deep state, under the deep state, I should say, because he's not a head. He is one in the chain of command, right? So, remember, Alexander did not come until after the Media-Persian Empire under Cyrus, which is now Trump. So, Alexander came after Trump, okay? So, and of course, Trump conquered Babylon, okay? And Alexander is to conquer his kingdom. Okay? It was deep state Obama, Babylon, and then Trump, Media Persia, and then Alexander the Grecian Empire. Okay? Obama may be back in the Third Empire as an Alexander to conquer Trump. Remember, history must repeat. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. That's very clear. Very clear. You want to know what's going to happen? It's already prophetically written in history, what's going to happen again. Okay. So we know the prophecies were manifest through history naturally as these three kingdoms, but somehow these beast kingdoms must be repeated, and we are watching it. Another thing that should not be forgotten, Obama was a figurehead for the deep state and their fourth generation AI computer, which they followed. Trump's steps came from a fifth generation AI computer that was programmed by the people pushing him. Okay, so that's enabled them to stay a little bit ahead of the deep state and so on. So I'm not taking anything from Trump. He is a genius, no doubt about that, in his own right. Alexander had political power back home holding down the fort. Revelation's seven-year tribulation beast, both the dragon and the beast, listen, had seven heads, not one. Seven heads, not one. This is a mistake. There's no foundation in the scriptures for this one guy rising up to rule the world. Oh, yes, one guy's a rising up, but they're all under the thumb of a lot of people. So nowhere in the Bible does it describe the one Antichrist beast. Nowhere. Okay, unless you're looking at a type or a shadow in the Old Testament. Now, we had a type and a shadow coming in the end of the Old Testament. It was Jesus. And what happened when the New Testament started? Jesus became a corporate body called the body of Christ. Yes. So, see absolute biblical proof in our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. If you want to know the real truth about this, it's all scripture. Okay. Jesus said there would be many antichrists. That's all he said. Only in parables of dreams, visions, or types, there is described a man, and sometimes a very big man, like one I just recently shared. And it's a very, very big man, which identifies him as a corporate body head. Okay, Jesus is a huge body. A lot of people have seen his body in the earth as a huge Jesus. You know, so we've received the interpretation. We have. And also, if Obama does not end up being Alexander, Alexander is still coming. Okay, so let's go back to Robert Holmes' revelation here. Alexander cometh. In 1999, as I prepared to travel to the U.S. on ministry, the Lord gave me a very unusual prophetic word. He said that in the days of Babylon, when her walls stood wide and her leaders stood tall, her defenses were strong and her campaigns victorious. Well, let me say, that does not describe Obama's Babylon. Babylon under the Trump alliance of nations, it has described in the years that he was physically in office. Not saying he's not in office now. He's over the military now. Okay. But this describes him. He is conquering. Okay. So then Alexander the Great, Obama, maybe, question mark, I put, came and defeated her. In the same way, my Alexander will stand in the very midst of the United States of America. Well, the phrase, he says, in the same way, indicates that America's walls are wide, her leaders stand tall, her defenses are strong, her campaigns until now have been victorious. Okay, this best describes Cyrus Trump's alliance. Not Obama. Obama brought the military down, made us weak, etc., etc. So this best describes Cyrus Trump's alliance campaigns over Babylon. But a man like Alexander, he said, someone God refers to as my Alexander, will stand in the midst, victorious, and defeat her. Well, Alexander the Great, a Mediterranean Greek, defeated Darius the Mede in 331 B.C. Of course, Darius was in office because of Cyrus. Yes, Cyrus had a huge kingdom and lots of people were ruling. Okay, so at the Battle of Gargamela, Darius ruled Babylon due to Cyrus's victory. And the gates of Babylon swung open to him. That's Alexander Obama. Mm-hmm. when he was just 25 years old. He stood in the midst of the courtyard declaring himself king. He then spent considerable time and effort trying to restore Babylon to its former glory. Let me say that neither Alexander nor Obama are capable of doing that. Because God decreed America's fall. It is written in the scripture. And I'm pointing it out to you right now. I'm going to point it out to you some more. As I prayed in preparation for going to the U.S. 2 weeks ago on ministry again, I had a vision of a map of America from high above. There, almost in the center of it, was a marketplace, and I zoomed down towards the marketplace, and I saw a man standing there. I recognized by the Spirit that it was Alexander the Great. Standing in a dusty sandstone area, sword lifted high and victorious. I believe that God's Alexander is Barack Obama. Well, I think he could be right, and I just say, if so, and I don't doubt it, he would come after the Trump alliance to conquer it. Trump has prepared everything for the beast, the one world order, the world economic system, complete control and knowledge of everyone's business, yes, through satellites and artificial intelligence. Cyrus Trump will be good to give time for the reformers to mature the saints for when the beast makes war on them in the second half of the tribulation period. Okay. And back to Robert. He said, he has now stood in the middle of America and declared his victory speech in Grant Park in Chicago. There he prophetically declared, change has come to America. Yes, true. It has. Barack, apart from having the appearance of a Middle Eastern or African man, is also very young and inexperienced, like Alexander. And Barack Obama has not even had a full year in his Senate position. That was written back then, right? I do not question the right of a 47-year-old to rule a nation, but his inexperience is not reduced by his amazing oratory skill. Quote, your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout, or in all the earth. Psalm 45:16, NIV, he writes. He represents the end of Empire America as we know it, and the opening of a new regime, one which, like Alexander, represents a conflagration of old powers. Oh, there you have it again, a conflagration of old powers. I'm just explaining you what those powers are here, okay? But we know that Alexander Obama, conquers Cyrus Trump's America. The Alexander Grecian Empire came after the Cyrus Trump Media Persian Empire. And Robert went on to say, European, Middle Eastern, and Asian, he will try to restore America's glory, but in doing so, relegate her to second position on the global scene. Well, we know Obama did everything he could and didn't quite finish the job. Like I said, Hillary was supposed to do that. Okay. Obama's job was to conquer America, but failed to finish the job, and he may be back as Alexander to conquer Trump's America. Okay. The prophet Daniel, who wrote his book from 605 to 530 BC, predicted Alexander would head a world power around 200 years before it happened. And you can see in Daniel's chapter 2, 7, 8, and 11 this truth. In Daniel 2, his empire is described as a belly and thighs of bronze or brass. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel 2, 31 through 32 and verse 39, in Daniel 7, it is described as looking like the leopard with wings. Okay. So, my question, how long will the Trump political revival last? Well, he's still doing his job. They're marching more and more people down to Gitmo and at least four other places, and either executing them or trying them and imprisoning them and whatever. Okay. So let me just continue with this train of thought. First, remember that we saw in Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 that history must repeat according to God. Daniel 2 and 32 says, as for his image, its head was of fine gold, that's Babylon, its breast and its arms of silver, that's Media Persia, in order, right? Its belly and its thighs of brass, that's Greece. Its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay, that's Rome, which is yet to come too. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, that's God's kingdom, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay and brake them in pieces. Yes, when did this happen now? Well, did it happen back then? Not to the extent that the rest of these verses teach, okay? This is an end time thing here. It's, yes, Rome did come and conquer, but not like is being said here. We'll read on. Verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken in pieces. Here's the key. Together. You remember the stone smote the toes, the ten toes, and crumbled it all together. The whole kingdom folded and God's kingdom conquered. So obviously this didn't happen in the historic view of these consecutive empires because this comes in our time. We're clearly seeing an end time fulfillment beyond the natural fulfillment of this prophecy. And Robert went on to say, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The whole earth. That didn't happen back then. So obviously this has never happened before our day. This is the end of all these beast empires at the hands of the kingdom of God, which takes over the entire earth. This is an end time thing we're looking at. And there's two views that we can see here. The historic chain of beast kingdoms and an end time fulfillment of all of them together, one right after the other. And Daniel said of the historic kingdoms in Daniel 7 and 12, and as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So this was true because their leadership was conquered and died, but their seed continued and multiplied down to our season and time. We still have all of those kingdoms with us because the seed of them is still with us. The original leadership died, but now it's being replaced by another leadership. Okay? To our season and time, in which they are given similar leadership so as to repeat history. The book of Revelation predicts or depicts the end time beasts as having seven heads, which are the same ones that Daniel identified in his day as those progressive kingdoms. So the seed of all these empires is with us today, except far larger, and they are joined in one corporate beast that covers the earth. It's seven heads, but it's one body. Okay? Not one head, seven heads. And one of its heads was smitten and revived. One of its heads. You don't know anybody out there that has seven heads, do you? You don't know any beast leader that has seven heads. Okay, so it's a parable. We have to get the picture here. Okay? The nations are joining together just like they never really did in the UN. And of course, they all foresaw that the UN would rule the earth. But we have another UN now. We're seeing it come together. We're seeing this alliance coming together, truly all nations in unity, because they're being bribed so, because they have all that hidden treasures of darkness to divvy up. Okay, how long will it last? Well, it's going to be a beast kingdom, a one beast body until the end. That's all the world outside of Christ. One beast body until the end. Seven heads. And the crowns are going to be on the heads. Okay? So, the end time interpretation is here. Verse 44. In the days of those kings, notice that these kingdoms were broken together at the end, but it was still in the days of those kings. In the days of all those kings. When are they joined? When are they all living together? Now. And this seems to say that another quick fulfillment of this prophecy is now at the end. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? So in the days of those kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people. In other words, he was ruling through these beast kingdoms, especially his people who were in rebellion and needed to go to their cross and needed these people to put them on their cross, right? Okay. So, but this time the Lord is going to rule personally through his kingdom, not all these beasts. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. When could this happen? In these days. And it shall stand forever. Clearly, the worldwide kingdom of God, with its leadership, by the way, in these days, which is Jesus through the man-child, will conquer the worldwide beast. And forasmuch as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And here it is again. If you wasn't convinced that time, listen to this one. Daniel 7 and 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion. Sounded like they all came up together, right? But the first was like a lion. That's Babylon in Britain's dominion. That was their symbol, the lion. And had eagle's wings. That's Babylon in the U.S. dominion. You know, because we have the eagle and the wings, right? I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet as a man. Could be that the Air Force will be taken down. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear. Well, that was Cyrus Trump's Medo-Persian Empire. They had the symbol of the bear, right? And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Well, this alliance, this Medo-Persian Empire, is doing just that. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. Okay, here comes Alexander Obama. Question mark. Again, I don't doubt this. I can't make it a thus saith the Lord yet, but I don't doubt it. Who inherits the one world economic and technological empire of Cyrus Trump? Yes, Alexander the possibly Obama is going to take over everything that's prepared by Trump. Okay. So, which had upon its back four wings of a bird. The beast had also four heads. Okay. So Alexander's four generals who ruled after his death. And it goes on to say, and dominion was given to it. So these are the four generals that came in after he died. So after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrible and powerful and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, the mighty Roman Empire, which will rule all 10 horns, that's all 10 continental divisions of the earth, as Daniel's 10 toes of the seed of all the beasts and the clay. So the Daniel's vision of the beast had 10 toes. It was the toes that were hit by the kingdom of God, and all of them were destroyed there. The 10 toes, all of them were destroyed there, you see. So God kind of hid this a little bit, and but we're looking at it. So we just received this text by faith at random on 2:18:23. Daniel 8 and 5. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat, who was Alexander the Great / Obama, came from the west over the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Okay. And he came to the ram that had the two horns. The two horns were the Medes and the Persians, right? The Empire of Cyrus, that's Trump, which I saw standing before the river, and ran upon him in the fury of his power. Sounds like an ambush. Yes. And I saw him come close unto the ram. Okay, so, you know, if it is Obama, he is close to the ram now. And he was moved with anger against him. So notice that they are close together, but there is faction, as we see already. While Trump is finishing off Babylon, Alexander is wanting his job. Yeah. And smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Okay, so I know that this will sadden many who have their hope set on Trump, but their hope should be in God and figuring out what God does with these beast kingdoms, because he's still using them. He's still using them to bring his people to their cross, and his people have been totally rebellious against the word of God, made up their own religion and called it Christianity, you know. So this is going to sadden many people who are especially patriotic. But as we're going to see, the kingdom of President Trump will not last that long. The church must take advantage of his benefits while we can. He delivered God's people from Babylon's bondage. God called him his shepherd. He delivered his people from Babylon's bondage and furnished the rebuilding of God's kingdom. He was giving us a brief respite for the church to stand up before a worse kingdom comes and more Antichrist, which we know is going to make war against the saints. And the he-goat, Alexander, magnified himself exceedingly. Now, we know that sounds like somebody we've just been talking about here, right? Magnified himself exceedingly, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four notable horns towards the four winds of heaven. Again, this is these are Alexander's four generals who divided up the empire on his death. We'll talk about his death a little later. And out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and some of the host and of the stars it cast down to the ground. Well, you know the stars in Revelation 12, which was earlier, there was a falling away of the stars at that time. It was a falling away. So this, too, is a great falling away because they took the mark of the beast. You understand? And I don't care what the religions say out there, the mark of the beast is fatal. We all are born with the mark of the beast in our foreheads, in our minds, the mind of the flesh, and in our hands, the works of the flesh. We're all born with that, but that's curable. But this mark is more physical and will be identified, okay? And trampled upon them. Yea, it magnified itself, even to the prince of the host. Yes, we know that magnified itself that way. And it took away from him the continual burnt offering, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So this is making war against the saints, isn't it? All right, and taking away the continual burnt offering. So this is mid-tribulation, the mark of the beast, which changes the mind and the DNA. And it appears the Funvax, which vaccinates against Christian fundamentalism. And we're going to see the proof of it right here. Daniel 9 and 27. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 7 years, right? 7 days of years, right? A week. And in the midst of the week, that's 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Who are the priests of the Lord in the New Testament? We are. What do we sacrifice? Our flesh on the fire, the burning altar of the fiery trial, right? So the burnt offering is taken away. When you get the mark of the beast, you don't follow God anymore. I'm sorry to say, the mark of God does not trump the mark of the beast. God himself said, if you take this mark, you're going to burn forever and ever. Okay. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate. So the mark causes to cease the crucified life of those who take it. We as priests are, our job is to sacrifice our flesh so that we can have this other kingdom, right? And even unto the full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Well, how did they get desolate? The abomination that maketh desolate is taking the mark of the beast. It is an abomination that maketh desolate because it is a reprobation. The Lord departs from the person that does this. And it's, they've proven now, by the way, that that's exactly what the mark does. Take away any desire, fun vax, right? Any desire for God. So the third beast brings us to the mid-tribulation. So now I'm going to repeat the fourth beast. Okay. Daniel 7 and 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrible and powerful, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. There's the iron of the Roman Empire. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So, the mighty Roman Empire, which will rule all 10 horns, in other words, all 10 continental divisions of the earth, as Daniel's 10 toes of the seed of all the beasts and the clay, right? Clay was not a part of the original Roman Empire, but it was mixed with the iron, which is a part, which was the original Roman Empire, the seed of the original Roman Empire. So this happens when the dragon, who has crowns upon his heads, changes in mid-trib to crowns upon the 10 horns of the beast. Okay? So the dragon lasts for 3.5 years, and then the beast comes for the last 3.5 years to harvest the saints, except for those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. For they are already dead to self, and they don't need to die again. There's no curse upon them. Therefore, they don't die. But some people are not working towards that end, so they will have to die. The soul that sins must die. Not one jot or one tittle will pass away, right? So, the New Age and their alien demons don't believe the book of Revelation because it doesn't agree with their 1,000 years of peace. And, of course, Trump is, you know, taking advantage of this 1,000 years of peace. It's a great promise for everybody. Gets everybody encouraged. And, oh, yes, we need to bring in this kingdom, right? No. Now we see that they don't agree with the Old Testament either, the Old Testament prophets. And their prophecies are being proven, too. And we're watching it. And Romans 3 and 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. So much for the 1,000 years of peace. And so much for doing away with the book of Revelation, which has a perfect numeric pattern just like all the rest of the books. And there's no other books that have that pattern. Yes, Revelation is true. And as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Do you want to prevail when you come into judgment? You must be justified in your words. And you must let God be found true and every man a liar. So, saints, it will take everything God has stated about these beasts to bring in the harvest. You have prayed for, right? You've been praying for this. I've been praying for this. We're all praying for this. The harvest has to come in. Well, this is part of it. The fear of the Lord has to be restored. People have to run for cover under the blood, right? So, strive for the bride who is going to escape the beast. So, here's another one that fits so neatly with this. The four generals will conquer Alexander Obama. Eve Brast, 129, 2010, shared this dream with us at that time, and it's really clear now. I asked God to confirm my role in this dream as a watchman on the tower. Twice I opened my Bible and put my finger down. The first was Ezekiel 3:21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Notice the condition. Because he took warning, and thou hast delivered thy soul. And also Isaiah 21 and 6. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So Eve here represents those watchmen who are watching for the enemy attacks on the Tower of Zion, right? We know what happened. I dreamed I was a watchman standing on the roof of a tower made of logs, crossed at the corners like a log cabin. The tower was coming up out of the Gulf waters off the northwest coast of Florida. And, of course, that's kind of where UBM began, in that area, right? And when I had this dream, I had a dream of the tower, too, you know, and it was there, okay? So this is agreeing with my dream. So when I had this dream, I didn't connect it with UBM, she said, but when I was told to send it to David, I realized that he had a dream or vision from the Lord that UBM was represented by a log tower like this. Yes, the Father pointed this out to me. In the same area, but on land. Okay. So, the tower is Zion, or Jerusalem. It's called the Tower of the Flock. Micah 4:8. And thou, O Tower of the Flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So Micah 4 is indicative of how God will use the bride tower in the latter days. Also typed as the bride in Revelation 21:9-10. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, who were laden with the seven last plagues. And he spake with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. That's the bride returning right there. And by the way, the bride is born from above, like Jesus. So this tower also simultaneously existed in the Mediterranean waters, further east off the shores of Israel. Oh, so there's a parallel. This is what it's saying. There's a parallel between Israel and the United States, or the people of God in the United States. Okay. So an elect bride will also be taken out of natural Israel. Okay. I was dressed in an Old Testament Israeli soldier's outfit and standing at the northeast corner of the tower. So the Israeli soldier outfit represents the true New Testament church, circumcised in heart, not in flesh, in its Ephesians 6 armor. It was dark, and the wind was gusting. I could feel rain or sea spray on my face, forearms, and lower legs. I was keeping the night watch facing northeast. Suddenly, out of the darkness, Alexander the Great came down and stood to my left. So Obama rules from the northeast of the tower and has been likened to Alexander the Great in other dreams and revelations, indicating his ambition and ability to conquer and take what God is giving into his hands for chastening. God gives these beast heads favor, so that they can do what they have to do. He said, I want to show you something. Alexander said to her, I want to show you something. He then swung over the north side of the tower and went feet first inside of it through a 24-by-24-inch window that a golden light shone out of. This in the tower, which is the tower of the flock, the bride, this golden light shining out of it. Okay. I followed him in the same way. Well, we know who's in the tower of the flock, the bride. It's the Lord, right? The golden light in the heart of the bride tower is Christ and the Word. Alexander/Obama on the left will conquer Christianity in America. However, as the Assyrian beast leader, Sennacherib conquered all of Israel but lost 185,000 of their prime men and was assassinated when he tried and failed to conquer Jerusalem, the bride tower. So it will be in some form in these coming days. And that area is 2 Kings 19, 30 through 37, right? I saw a vision of America, Eve said, as Nineveh. Oh, that was my vision, excuse me. I saw a vision of America as Nineveh, the head of the Assyrian world beast. As Assyria was conquered, other parts of Israel, some of these fled to the safety of the tower. And as this happens, the people will seek God and their capital city, the bride tower. Right? This is the leadership of God's people, the man-child and the bride who rules under the man-child. In Jesus' day, that represented him and those disciples, those first fruits disciples that John the Baptist said were the bride. So we're just following the scriptures, that's all. So inside, there was a very bright white light. When my eyes adjusted, I saw it was a laboratory of some sort with countertops and lab equipment and all around. And in front of the north window that we had entered, there was a double stainless steel sink with a high faucet. Next to it, on the countertop, was a black microscope. Alexander pointed to the microscope and exclaimed, "Look!" I looked into it and was sucked through it into a spiritual realm that was dark with black, choppy water everywhere. I was aware in my spirit that it wasn't black just because it was dark. In other words, it's evil too, right? So when I got my bearings, I looked around and I realized that I was on one of the four Greek vessels sailing east at a quick and steady pace. And these could represent the four generals that divided up Alexander's kingdom after they poisoned him. Question mark. That was a rumor that happened. And it could have been, too. Well, the white sails were missing, so it wasn't powered by spirit, which is the same word as wind, right? And the masts were bare, and there were no oars, so it was not powered by man, right? God is powering this, right? So these vessels of judgment have no power against the bride, who is guiltless by God's grace. They do have power against the sinner. They do have power against the world, right? I was standing on the deck of the third vessel to the right. Pestilence and blood? Well, that sounds familiar. Corexit, if you remember from the Gulf War mess, brought blood disorders and destroyed the immune system just like the vax does now. They've been doing this for years, folks. And they've been doing it with vaccines, too, for years. There was one more vessel to my right, making it the fourth. Alexander was standing next to me on the deck. I asked the Lord what the four vessels represented, and he gave me Ezekiel 5:16-17. Four judgments of famine, evil beasts, pestilence, and blood, the third vessel. Pestilence and blood, the third vessel, and the sword. So today, these have all been judgments through the deep state. In other words, the Ohio, East Palestine chemical dioxin fiasco, and other environmental disasters, and blood contamination through mRNA vaccines. And microscopes are used many times to look at harmful microorganisms representing unseen biohazards in food, water, and air that cannot be detected otherwise. So, I looked ahead to the east and I saw a large bright star, bigger and brighter than any I have ever seen. I knew instantly that it was Christ. Suddenly, two giant branches of lightning struck out sideways to the north and the south of the star through dark gray clouds, and a voice came out of the star that resonated through my whole being on a cellular level. It said, "Proceed no further, for truly these are the very end of days." Only the vessel we were on then began to break apart into many broken pieces of splintered wooden planks. Immediately I was caught up away from Alexander, because, of course, the bride is not going to go down in that destruction, who was still on the deck of the vessel. We alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, right? Still on the deck of the vessel. Back through the microscope and into the tower of the flock, the tower of safety. That's what it is. So in his war against the church at that time of the tribulation, he's going to proceed no further. The end, right? Then the bride in these end of days by the edict of the king. This was just as it was when Ahasuerus stopped Haman, who, like Sennacherib of Assyria, died for his attempt on Esther, the bride. Alexander the Great is said by some historians to have been assassinated by poison as he drank a bowl of unmixed wine to Hercules in the palace of Babylon, the great eagle. Yes, that's Babylon's symbol, the great eagle. Very interesting. So we're going all the way up in and into the great and terrible day of the Lord. So there seems to be a common thread of death or assassination to those rulers who attack the bride slash tower, right? And I'd like to remind any who read this that a Christian could never do this. For the word says, "If a man shall kill with the sword must he be killed." Who killed with the sword? Alexander. "And love your enemies, and avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." Amen. Well, I looked to my left where the sink was and noticed a reddish dye tablet to the right of the drain in the right side of the sink. And there was a small stream of water running down onto the tablet, causing a red swirl that ran around the bottom of the sink clockwise before going down the drain. And then I woke up. So, because Jesus, the Word, which is the water of the Word, right, poured out his blood, that's the reddish tablet, unto death, the bride will have life. And if we take the tablet or cure, we will have life too. But I want to tell you, you have to die to self, too. There's another death here. Not only did Christ die, but the body of Christ must die. Not physically, doesn't have to, but some will, because they didn't and refused to die to self. Okay. So we will have life. And he said, unless we ate his body, the bread and the word, and drank his blood, we will not have life. So, we're talking about two sides of the same dragon. Amen. During the meeting, I had an open vision. My spirit man was standing next to the Lord in a wooded area. It was daylight and really foggy. And I think that means a combination of light and dark, representing the opposites of yin and yang, which we will see below. We were standing in front of a black dragon representing the deep state bad dragon, she has in parenthesis, that was sleeping. Then it woke up, and I saw a white dragon come from the left representing the new age, the white hats, the semi-good dragon. I'm going to call it semi-good, and that's in parenthesis too. The two dragons merged together. Oh, no. And when they roared, fire came out of their mouth. So we definitely don't want Babylon Deep State joining the alliance until at least they have done their job, right? They then flew off above me and the Lord, and after that I had a vision of the yin and yang symbol. So I looked up the yin and yang, and it is a complex relational concept in Chinese culture that has developed over thousands of years. Briefly put, the meaning of yin and yang is that the universe is governed by a cosmic duality. Well, we believe that too, kind of. Different, a little different, but sets of two opposing and complementing principles or cosmic energies that can be observed in nature. We have a link here that will help explain that to you if you want to look at the text. There's light and dark. There's day and night. There's good and evil. Yin and yang. Yin and yang, or yin-yang, refer to a concept originating in ancient Chinese philosophy where opposite forces are seen as interconnected and counterbalancing. It's commonly represented by the yin-yang symbol, a circle made up of black and white swirls, each containing a spot of the other. So this looks like the deep state is going to try to force Trump into making a deal to join together, as it was with Operation Paperclip. Yeah. That resulted in the formation of our current deep state. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You cannot join with the wicked, right? The deep state is putting pressure on Trump and the alliance by all of their murders and acts of domestic terrorism. And I think that Trump and the military leaders may be tempted to be discouraged because of the seeming impossibility of taking down the deeply embedded deep state. I don't think Trump knows that the Lord is going to do as he promised and put an end to the deep state Babylon, as we saw that he will bring an end to Alexander/Obama. So these beasts will put the pressure on the people of this world and the church to fear the Lord and seek his shelter under the blood of Jesus. And I asked the Lord if he wanted us to pray against this merger, and I got a yes. So cast it down, saints, at least for now. Cast down this merger. In Jesus. Now remember, all of these kingdoms are beasts, I'm sorry to tell you. All of them are beasts. Some are better than others, but they're all beasts, and they all are going to fall. And the kingdom of God is going to take them down. There's no way out of it. So, Father, we thank you for this revelation. We want to know what to expect. We obviously have to get ready for tribulation. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus. We'll do this again sometime.